This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Please be seated. Let us begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You got to be kidding me. This gospel? For my last sermon? I'm not referring to a head on a platter. And I'm not referring to some sensual belly dancing. What you gotta be kidding me about is that it's about John the Baptist. It seems like every time I am privileged to preach in this place, the vast majority of times the gospel reading contains John the Baptist. And it goes all the way back to 2005. My memory is quite vivid about that day because something very comical, something very could have been tragic, happened. 5 minutes before the service in which I'm to be assisting, 7:45, the supply priest does not show up. I won't mention what his name was. Father Marty is away, and I'm in transition from the Lutheran Church to become a priest in the Episcopal Church. I've not been approved to do a Eucharist. I've not been approved to do a Deacon's Mass. So what are we going to do? Cheryl May of the congregation, who was a part of that service, gave me that look as if to say, let's see what you're made of. What miracle are you going to perform? Since Monty Tiller did not show up, we decided in those 5 minutes to turn the liturgy into a morning prayer service in which we would use the readings and I would preach an impromptu sermon on the baptism of our Lord, on John the Baptist. So, interestingly, a couple months later, we're in the season of Lent. I'm asked to preach again. Guess who's in the gospel text? John the Baptist. Last summer, I preach Matthew's version of this same text. So I've been known as the scholar of John the Baptist. So what am I to do this morning? What am I to do? Am I to do a comparison of this wild party that Herod had with the dinner party that Jesus had on the night he was betrayed before his crucifixion? Am I to reenact a beheading? Am I to do a demonstration of a sensual belly dance? I know. I know some of you would like that, but as Father Marty would say, it ain't gonna happen. But to help me with this dilemma, it's the other readings, and especially the psalm, that really helped me to get at the message, to enlighten us as to what this is all about, what it means for us now, in this contrast between King Herod and John the Baptist. And so, in a nutshell, King Herod represents each and every one of us. And without going into a lot of detail, it boils down to the fact that the message is all about attitude and priorities. And the attitude that is prevalent, like King Herod, seems to be our attitude also. And so we find ourselves saying things like, yeah, I really would love a relationship with God, but you know, I like my sins too. It makes life more interesting. I want the blessings of God, but I really don't want the responsibility that comes with it. I always want God available to me, but I don't always want to be available to God. And yes, I want God's help, but I don't want God to tell me what to do. And so to address this kind of attitude symbolized by Herod in our text, the good news that we have from our readings today and from the image and the person of John the Baptist comes down to these three simple points. First, to find a truly meaningful and purpose-filled life, we need to be listening for the voice of God. Listening for the voice of God. Second, when God speaks to us and we hear, peace is what follows. A peace and calm that we desire to have in our lives is discovered. And third, when we listen for the voice of God and begin to experience this peace, we discover blessings, blessings that abound more than we could ever imagine. Well, I want to have a little fun with this morning. So I want to illustrate these three points by examining my own spiritual life with a few slides. And so, let's go to the first point. The importance of listening for the voice of God. Now, I heard the voice of God at a young age. Here's our first slide. Now, I wasn't quite this young, but nevertheless, as a child, God was speaking through loving and caring parents. In case you can't figure it out, I'm on the gospel side. That's a sign in those pictures. See, God knew already. I didn't. There were four children in a five-year period. And then a fifth child came along 12 years later. But my parents nurtured us with a faith to know the love and presence of God. And they themselves modeled this faith in the way that they not only cared for this family, but the way they also demonstrated care for those around them. They were givers. Let's go to our next slide. My mother played a most significant role in my faith development, and also her mother, my grandmother. Our faith was nurtured very intentionally by these two women as we attended Sunday school, worship services, youth group. They saw to it that we were baptized and confirmed. But more significantly, they lived the faith. They walked the talk. And they showed us how to love others as we are loved by Christ. At the age of 9, I had a sense that I wanted to become a priest, though I never shared that with anyone. I always said, I want to be an artist. And so off to college I go, our next slide. This is my graduation picture, my Mark Spitz look. Mark Spitz was the Olympian who won, I think, 5 gold medals in swimming. 7, thank you. I was in my first year at college at Arizona State University when I responded to the voice of God. And so I made a decision to enroll in seminary, and I would begin my seminary career 3 years later. After college, it was off to Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, to attend seminary, located in the midst of a civil war, a battlefield. And just like John the Baptist, I was preparing myself to seek a calling, preparing to baptize and to preach. Like John, I came out of the wilderness. Our next slide. Now I realize I look more like Eddie Munster, a wolf man, than a servant of God. But let me tell you what went on here. Everybody told me I looked like a 12-year-old dressed as a priest. And what made it worse is the year before I was graduating from seminary and being ordained, I went into braces. Oh, you'll only have them for a year. Well, that didn't happen. Put me in braces, I looked like an 8-year-old. So I had to mature overnight, so I grew a beard. The problem was I was committed to keeping that beard until the braces went off 5 years later. I had already served 4 years with my first parish, St. Michael's, in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Now, imagine this. My flock had only known me as this bearded chap. When the braces came off, I shaved the beard on a Saturday night, came to church, and hid in my office before the service. My office happened to be behind the wall of the altar. And I stayed there until it was time for the worship to begin. And I came out the door. Where is our pastor? And who the hell is this kid? This is what I looked like. A couple years later, a formal portrait was done. The next picture. I served St. Michael's for 10 years, as I also had taken my second master's, this time with summer studies from the University of Notre Dame. And I was then called to a position with the National Church of the Lutheran Church in America in Philadelphia. Our next slide. I was the art director and design and worship consultant for Ecclesiastical Arts, a studio that did custom work with textiles, furnishings, vessels, and even full church interior renovations. My ideal position. Because here I was utilizing not only my artistic skills, but also my theology and liturgical experiences. But unfortunately, the job was short-lived because a merger occurred in the Lutheran Church as three of the four major bodies merged to form the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. And the writing was on the wall, and Ecclesiastical Arts would be shut down. And so I returned to parish work as I committed myself to a 4 years ministry in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, with a rural church to bring them back to full-time ministry, which we actually accomplished in 2.5 years. From there, I went to Houston to teach scripture, church history, and once they discovered I had artistic skills, graphic design, and yearbook. After 5 years in Houston, with the encouragement of friends here in Florida, Ernie and I came to Florida, and I put myself into that process of jumping the fence to becoming an Episcopal priest. The second point of our readings and the good news we hear today is that when God speaks, peace follows. In continuing to listen for the voice of God in my life, I have found abundant blessings all the way up to the time that I came here. But the biggest blessing has been being a part of this congregation for 14 years and to being the chaplain and sacred study teacher for 10 years. I have experienced profound peace and joy in my ministry. This place has allowed me to be me. This is a place where not only the gospel is preached, it is lived. And you can't begin to imagine what that meant to me. To be able to be the creative and free person I am, to be accepted unconditionally, and to be loved for who I am and what I am as a child of God. Here, I could be honest and open without condemnation. And I have found great peace and joy. Through you, I have found the fullness of Christ in my life and in my work. And it is what I now take as I move to Reno and to Trinity Church. The third point that our readings make for today is that in making a relationship with God a top priority, where commitment and faithfulness is what only God asks of me, I find that blessings continue to abound and flow endlessly in my life. And to me, that is what John the Baptist was all about in his ministry. We are able to be all that God is asking of us, regardless of what life dishes out to us. be it a former head of school who was trying to get rid of our Episcopal identity, and the chaplain being the most prominent individual that represented that identity. Despite the challenges of illness and cancer and tragedy that we as priests experience as we minister with and among you as the people of God, and regardless of the recent challenges of dealing with the deterioration because of cancer of my beloved mother, only to be trumped with the tragedy of a younger brother's horrendous accident and ultimate death, I have been sustained. I am a survivor because of God's endless blessings in my life. I could not have done it. I could not have gone through it without the faith of God's abundant grace, especially as you shared that with me. I am blessed to be able to stand each day knowing the awe and the wonder that awaits my day, that I will experience Christ anew, again and again and again. And so my life has been blessed in multiple ways, and there are three individuals that I wish to share in those blessings. First, our next slide, Reverend Wendy. Thank God Wendy went to seminary, because where would I be today? Wendy was the sacred study teacher and lay chaplain. And if she didn't leave for seminary, where would I be? But responding to God's voice, Wendy stepped out in faith to respond. Her focus, her fortitude, her faith has modeled for me through the years a message that I hear over and over again. God is in charge. Simply remember who you are and to whom you belong. You are a child of God, and God will always be there with you to lead you, to guide you, and to enable you to know the life that was intended since the moment you were conceived in the womb. Wendy, you continue to be a model of servanthood for me, a friend who loves me unconditionally and encourages me to be all that I can be. I thank you. In all the years of ministry, I've always prayed that someday I would be part of a team, a bringing together of godly inspired human resources. And that dream came true here at St. Joseph's. I count as one of my biggest blessings and cherished blessings the presence of a saint, Father Marty. Our next slide. Marty has been a model, a mentor, a holy presence, a comforter, a counselor, a true friend. And I almost find the words difficult to express what this man has meant for my own continued development and growth as a priest. I stand in awe of his talents, but more than that, I stand in awe of the fact that I can count myself as a close friend and confidant. I'm deeply honored to have been able to serve with you, Marty, and I rejoice that I will be able to share him with the people of Trinity Reno, because he will be there to preach my installation in September. Thank you for honoring me. In 1997, after a year of teaching in Houston, God gifted me with a new and very special presence. And from this new person, God's voice came in a very profound and bold way. Ernie Westbrook started to attend St. Stephen's Episcopal Church with me, and that following spring he was baptized and confirmed. But the bigger gift, the unexpected gift, he manifested. Perhaps he was the voice of John the Baptist. He's got the beard. A prophetic voice who knew that I was not truly happy and fulfilled as a teacher. And I had difficulty sitting there in the pew. And so he encouraged me to get back into active priesthood. And as Paul Harvey would say, now you know the rest of the story. Words cannot express my profound love and gratitude for all that Ernie is in making me a better person. He's my protector, a voice of reason, an incredible cheerleader of my work as a priest and as an artist. But most of all, he brought the gift of humor into my life. And by the way, that's the secret to my youthfulness. I have never laughed so much in my life as I do with Ernie. There is always a daily dose of laughter among words of encouragement and affection that are given freely. And Ernie, I'm so thankful for your presence. So 3 points today. Listen for the voice of God. In responding to God, you will experience peace. And with life in Christ will come abundant blessings. This has been my experience here among this community, St. Joseph's Episcopal Church and School, which brings us to our last slide. Because of you, and the many ways each and every one of you has touched my life, be it a simple greeting as we leave church, passing through the car line at school, a social event, working together in Bible study or on a church program, you have blessed me with the presence of Christ. You have brought forth from me talents and abilities to be a true servant of Christ. And I cannot thank each and every one of you enough for nurturing that faith and for now sending me forth to minister to others. For as a result of your love, you have made Christ known to me, and I have now become the man that stands before you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And thanks be to God. Amen.